today as we come to the table.
You might wonder, why would God stand with them? First of all, God made a promise and God keeps his promises. But again, imagine if you knew someone who was going to, no matter how they're living right now, you knew they were going to give their life to the Lord and you saw the beauty that was going to come out of their life once they did, you would stand with them. You would support them. You would encourage them because you can see the future. That's what God does with Israel. He sees the future. He tells us about it. He says, now, because you know what's going to happen, because you know that I love them, because you know I'm going to revive them, because you know I'm going to open their eyes and bring them to me, I want you to love them as future family, although they're not family yet. And so that is, again, God's heart in all this.
You have a heart for Israel? There are many out there that argue that God's relationship with Israel is over since they rejected Jesus. They say he's moved on to only blessing Christians. That's not true. First of all, God wants all non-believers to turn to him, and he still has a heart for the Jewish people. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In his message today, Pastor Mark will teach how it is clear in the Bible that God's plan for Israel isn't done. God made a promise to Abraham to bless the world through his descendants, and God keeps his promises. God's heart should be your heart. Pray for Israel, that they would see their need for Jesus and turn to him. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, as he begins his message, Why Christians Should Stand with Israel.
Looking at what's going on in the world, because I think that the body of Christ really needs to be educated in certain areas, and I'm seeing some of that evidenced by some of the stuff I'm hearing out there, and God put this in my heart to do this, so stuff that I know I needed to learn and stuff I want to pass on to you. But before we do that, I wanted to share some things with you about the city of Ariel. Now, some of you know this, maybe some of you don't. Calvary Chapel Knoxville has been supporting a city there in Israel now for over 20 years. Every month in financial support, they are the city of Ariel. The reason we started supporting them was, again, first of all, in Genesis, as we saw last week, the Bible says, I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And God said in the last days, he was going to bring the Jews back into their land, and we wanted to be a part of that. Well, as they were all coming back in these large groups are really coming in at that time from Russia in large amount, they were needing some help over there and giving them supplies, places to live, things for the babies and all. And so we were giving each month, and they were giving it for formula and diapers and all kinds of things, helping the Jews that were coming from Russia resettle. Over the years, it has changed into many different things. And I told them, they said, can we use it for whatever the needs are for the people? I said, absolutely. We visited there about 3 or 4 years ago to Ariel. Tracy and I did on one of our trips over there. And it was kind of neat because they were showing us around the town. They took us into this room. And Avi Zimmerman, who's the city manager and a friend of ours there, he said, come in this room. I want to show you what's going on here and what we're doing. It was a room. There were several different ladies, older ladies from Russia and other areas that were sitting there. And maybe they were all from Russia at that time. I don't know. But he said, these are some of the older Jewish women that have moved in from Russia. They came here. They needed work to do. They didn't have a job. So we're using your money, Calvary Chapel's money, to help give them work here. And they were sitting at these tables snapping these electronic parts together, just making rows and rows of electronic parts. And so we're like, well, what is this? What are they making? They said, well, these are some of the inner workings electronics for the Iron Dome system that protects us against the incoming rockets. And so he said, Calvary Chapel Knoxville is helping us protect our nation with the Iron Dome system. Isn't that neat? So that's where it's going to now. So that's exciting. Now, again, we've been working with them for over 20 years, giving to them for over 20 years. They've never asked for a penny. That's not their heart. They don't seek out the money, if you will. They just appreciate the help that we've been able to give them. But I got a call from Mayor Eli Shaviro, who's the mayor there now. He called me last week, and he said, you just want to tell me what's going on. He said, I'm going to give you an update on what's happening here in Ariel. He said, we have had some soldiers and first responders that have been killed. Some were killed, I think, even October 7th when they came in there, the initial thrust of those guys coming in, not really knowing. Remember, they sent the police out, the regular police and others initially, not knowing this was an army coming in that had army-type equipment and weapons and all. So He said, we lost some people there. And he said, also, we have some needs here with our first responders and all that. He said, if there's anything that you could consider doing, you know, maybe beyond what you guys already do, that would be appreciated. So he wanted to give me an update, and then he did let the need be known, which, again, they've never done that. So I realized, okay, they really have some extra needs. Before we get into the word today, I want to pray even right now and ask God to bless our time in his word and also to bless the nation of Israel. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, again, for your faithfulness to the nation of Israel. And as we begin seeing, you will be faithful to them to the end. Lord, they are your chosen people. You are going to pour your spirit out in the last days, and they're going to come to know their Messiah, and they're going to be restored and revived as a nation. And I thank you that we can be a part of that, encouraging them, praying for them. Through this hard time, keep them safe, keep the believers and unbelievers safe there in Israel. Protect those soldiers as they get ready to go in, Lord, on this ground offensive. I pray, God, for all of those in Lebanon and Syria and the Gaza Strip that don't want to be a part of this, God. Those that really, their heart's not there. Those that you would draw to yourself, protect them as well. We pray, God, that you would, again, that you'd use this not only to save some in Israel, but to save some in the surrounding countries. Lord, we do pray for the safety of Israel and for you to your hand to be on them. But we know that you died for all men. And you died for those in Gaza. You died for those in Syria. You died for those in Lebanon. And we pray, God, you'd bring as many to yourself through this time of being broken and tragedy as you can. And we thank you again, Lord. We pray now that as we look at, Lord, again, this study here on why the Christians should stand with the nation of Israel, I pray you'd further educate us and that the church as a whole would be educated, God, as to why we stand here. And so, again, use today for your glory. Speak by the Spirit through what you use me to say, as well as the scriptures that we're going to cover. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, again, as I said, that we've got part two, why Christians should support Israel. You really need to understand the foundation and know why we're doing this. This is not a series to say that, you know what, Israel never does anything wrong and that they never make any mistakes or they're a righteous nation. They're not a righteous nation. They don't know God right now. They do a lot of things wrong like a lot of other nations. But that's not the point. What we're looking at is that God says we're to stand with Israel regardless of how they do, all the way through to the end. We don't stand with anything wrong they do. I want to make that clear. But we stand with them as a nation because God has made promises to Abraham. God is going to keep those promises all the way through to the second coming. And there's going to be a special reward for those who stand with Israel through that. And we're going to see the scriptures for that today. Remember last week, we started looking at the promises of God. And we saw, number one, God's promise to Abraham, Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Those who bless you, I'll bless. Those who curse you, I will curse. Again, that's why we've been involved in blessing Israel all these years. The second thing we saw was a promise to those who bless Abraham's descendants through Isaac. That is the Jewish people, the Jewish nation. God says, I'll bless those who do that. The third thing we saw was the promise was unconditional. Remember, God put Abraham to sleep and God walked between the parts alone. God basically said, I'm keeping both sides. Even if you fail on your side, if you fail as a nation, no matter how bad you do as a nation, even if you put to death your own Messiah, I will not abandon you. Because I made this covenant without you, it is unconditional, and I'm keeping it till the end. And so that was another main reason that we stand with the nation of Israel. And again, we saw lastly that the promise was eternal. If you remember in Jeremiah, he talked about after the cross. He talked about after the new covenant. He said, after the new covenant's been given, which we now know is the cross, he said, if you see the sun and moon still shining, I've not changed my mind. I'm still committed to the nation, and I'm still keeping my promises till the end. So again, just to catch us up with where we were. Now today, we're going to look at the current fulfillment of God's promise to bring them back into the land. We will jump into different scriptures there. We'll start seeing where God prophesied it, and then we're going to talk about when it happened. We'll do that in a moment. Secondly, we're going to see the evidence that they will still be there at the second coming. And why am I addressing that as a second topic today? Because I'm hearing some people saying, well, Israel's going to be wiped out. They won't even be there. No, they're not going to be wiped out. God's going to protect them. And again, they're going to be there at the second coming. We will see in the scripture them there as tribes and as nations mourning when they see Jesus coming back in the clouds, that is from Jerusalem. And then lastly, we'll see God's reward at the second coming for those who have stood with them, and that is for those of us today that stand with the nation of Israel because of God's future promise to the nation of Israel. You might wonder, why would God stand with them? First of all, God made a promise, and God keeps his promises. But again, imagine if you knew someone who was going to, no matter how they're living right now, you knew they were going to give their life to the Lord, and you saw the beauty that was going to come out of their life once they did, you would stand with them. You would support them. You would encourage them because you can see the future. That's what God does with Israel. He sees the future. He tells us about it. He says, now, because you know what's going to happen, because you know that I love them, because you know I'm going to revive them, because you know I'm going to open their eyes and bring them to me, I want you to love them as future family, although they're not family yet. And so that is, again, God's heart in all this. Now, before we jump into the scriptures today, there's some necessary groundwork to lay, and that is some necessary history to understand what's currently going on. Because I think there's so much of this new generation really shows how ignorant they are. And I don't use the word ignorant as a mean word or slanderous. I use it in the technical term of just not knowing. They just don't know history or the Bible, or obviously in many cases even God, as far as that goes. And because of that, they're simply jumping on the next big cause, the next thing to march for, the next thing to somehow take up for what they feel is the oppressed person or whatever the case might be. And so the first thing we need to look at is, why was Israel renamed Palestine? What is Palestine? Who is Palestine? Where did that come from? Okay, first of all, you need to realize historically there's never been a Palestinian state in world history. That one statement shocked some people. You mean there's never been a Palestinian state, a legal with leaders and rulers? Never. Never in world history has there been. So a lot of people think that today. And so you hear a lot of these things of they need to come back and take back whatever was theirs. Well, there's never been a there. Number one, first of all, to realize. So where did the terminology Palestinian come from? As a matter of fact, prior to 1948, when Israel declared themselves a nation again, everyone living in that region was called, guess what? Palestinian. The Jews were called Palestinians in 1947. And 1947 on back, every Jew there was called a Palestinian. Okay, now the Jews are called Israelis because they're a nation again, and those that are non-Israelis are called Palestinians. Well, where do we get the name Palestinian, and where does it come from? Well, the Emperor Hadrian, who ruled in AD 76 to AD 138 after Christ, after his death, he hated the Jews, again, which a lot of people have throughout history, and he hated them so much that he wanted to do the most harm he could to them, even emotionally and psychologically. So being the ruler of the world, he said, you know what? We're not going to call this area Israel anymore. From now on, it's going to be called by your greatest enemy's name. And who was the greatest historic enemy in his viewpoint? It was the Philistines, right? So he named it Philistinia, or Philistine, or Palestinia, or where we get the word today, Palestine. So Palestine literally means Philistine. Now, here's what's interesting. There are no Philistines that exist anymore. We can prove that now through DNA. The Philistines have died out. There are no living Philistines on the planet. So if you were to go even to someone today and say, are you a descendant of the Philistines? You said you're a Palestinian. They would laugh and say, well, no, I'm not. We're not from the Philistines. They don't even exist. But we're from this land which is called Palestine and it's ours or whatever. Well, it was renamed by Hadrian as an insult to the Jews. And again, it wasn't that no Philistines ever took it over, et cetera, et cetera. Never been its own state, simply associated with a region and associated with a certain people. And so again, when you hear people saying they need to go back and get their land or whatever, they never had it, okay? Understand that. So that's the thing, a lot of people don't understand the history behind this. The Jews have been there for thousands of years, and those who still live there still continue to live there when the other Jews began to come back, and then they were declared a nation in 1948. So that's the history behind it. What they're trying to do now is create, for the first time in world history, a Palestine. They're trying to create one. They're trying to give it their own state. They want Jerusalem to be part of their capital, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They now have put leaders even at the UN, and they have the PA leaders. You've heard of some of the names or whatever, because they're trying to put leadership in place so that when they do get their own state, if you will, and that's what they're shooting for, they'll have some leadership in place and et cetera, et cetera. Plus, it works very good politically because it looks like somehow you're a displaced people or whatever the case might be. Now, I'm not saying some people haven't been displaced from the Middle East. That happens all over the world. I'm saying there hasn't been a state of Palestine that's been displaced. And so you need to understand that. So with that said, who is Hamas? Now, it's interesting. We talk about Hamas. Again, we talked about they are a terrorist proxy. Hamas and Hezbollah, we said last week, they work for Iran. They're basically Iran on the ground. They're on all sides of them. And Iran is really the one that's going against Israel and using them to do this. But they're one of many terrorist groups there that are funded by Iran, even the Islamic Jihad and others that are there in the Gaza Strip. And part of their charter, I'm not going to read their whole charter, but in their charter, they make it very clear there's no room for any Jews or anybody but them in Israel. I want to read just a couple of points about their charter. It says there should be no recognition of the legitimacy of the Zionist entity, that is, of the Jews. And it goes on and says, their second state, a real state of Palestine is a state that has been liberated, that is from the Jews and the God of the Bible. That's what they mean by that. I added that in, but that's what they mean. And there's no alternative to a fully sovereign Palestinian state of the entire nation of Palestine, which there is no nation of Palestine, but of the entire region is what they're saying. They're saying, look, there's no place for the Jews. We don't want them here. They need to be gone. And they stated very clearly, their goal in the original PLO charter is to drive the Jews into the sea, and that means the Mediterranean. So here's where you see the ignorance come in of these people marching in the streets and these chants they're saying. I think some may know what they're saying. Probably those with a Palestinian background know what they're saying. I think probably the American youth have no idea what they're saying. But they're saying this chant, from the river to the sea, Palestine free. From the river to the sea, Palestine free. They always have these chants they do, right? What that means is, right now, the current nation of Israel is from the River Jordan to the Mediterranean. What they're saying is, kill all the Jews. Kill them. From the river to the sea, wipe them out, and give it, it's us, we belong here. So they're marching in the streets of New York. They're marching in the streets of London, 100,000. We saw something here in Knoxville going on. And what they're saying is, when they do that chant, I'm not saying everyone said that chant. I don't know that they even said that chant here in Knoxville. So I don't know. I wasn't a part of that. I'm not making any accusations on that particular gathering. I'm simply saying that when you hear that kind of chanting and that kind of a heart behind that, that means exterminate the Jews. Guys, this is the same spirit we saw in World War II. Note this. It wasn't Hitler that did that. I'm not taking the responsibility off of Hitler. He's responsible. He will stand before God and be accountable for what he's done. But if it hadn't been Hitler, it would have been someone else, because it is a demonic battle. It is the spiritual realm. It is Satan fighting against God, trying to wipe out the Jews and the promises that God has given to the Jewish people. And so the same spirit is rising today. You know, it's interesting. Now they're finding some of the bodies that they hadn't found yet of the Jews that were killed when they came on October 7th. And again, it is horrendous. I'm not going to tell you about it. You're going to hear about it on the news. There's no need for me to repulse you this morning, but I'll tell you. The things they're doing were so wicked, so repulsive, so over the top, it reminds me of the biblical days. If you go back and read in the Bible what Assyria and all the enemies of Israel were doing to them and to the women and to the children, you read that and you read the history of what they did the exact same thing October 7th. Now, here's what's amazing about that. Listen, what it shows me is this is not just people getting mad and going to do something. This is demonic. It's much higher than those people, and it's the same spirit today that was back in World War II and all the way back in the biblical days. You see, here's what the Bible says. The fallen angels have fallen, right? But they're stationed around the globe. A generation dies, but guess who stays there? The same demons that were there in World War II are still in that region. The same demons that have been there since the days of Jesus and before are still in Gaza. They're still in Jerusalem. They're still in Syria. They're eternal beings. They never die. A generation goes, they bring another generation back. So they put the same wicked thoughts, the same wicked things in their hearts. They do the same atrocities. That's exactly what we're dealing with Hamas. You have to understand that. Okay? Now, it's interesting. When you look at what the word Hamas means, again, Hamas, I don't know if you knew this or not, Hamas is actually in the Bible, but it's not the Hamas we're talking about today. Hamas there in the Gaza was not prophesied about, okay? They may be a small portion of what's prophesied about, but when we read about that in the Bible, this what I'm about to share with you is not about the Hamas there in Gaza, so understand that. But they have taken on a name, this group, to let you know how they've identified themselves. They have taken on a word out of the Bible to identify themselves as to who they are. And it's interesting, the word they chose. They probably weren't thinking about Genesis 6 when they chose it. But in Genesis 6, when God is talking about the judgment that he's got to bring upon the earth because of all the sin of mankind, Jesus said it'll be in the last days like the days of Noah. It's going to be the same thing happening in Noah's day that was happening back in Genesis 6 when God had to flood the entire earth. And listen to what it says in reference to that in Genesis 6:11. It says, the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Guess what the word violence is? Hamas. They chose a word that means violence. That is, here's the official definition. There in the Hebrew, it means violence. Those who do wrong, those that are cruel, and those that are unjust. That's who we are. We're going to be cruel. We're going to be unjust. We're going to be wrong. They probably wouldn't include that in there. They probably just say, yes, we're going to be violent. And again, led by the demonic realm. That's who we're dealing with. So understand, when you're talking about Israel going in, this is not like going in just a bunch of innocent civilians that are being attacked. They're going specifically after a group of horrible people that have done horrible things that are going to continue to do it to other babies and women and men if somebody doesn't deal with it. And that's why Israel's stepping up and needs to deal with this. And that's why we need to encourage them and allow them to be able to do that and continue to pray for the innocents that surround that area. One of the casualties of war is that it does affect the innocents sometimes. We grieve over that. And we need to be praying for them and praying for all those, not just the hostages, but for everyone in that region. Again, that God would bring them to the kingdom through this. But we have to recognize what's going on. It's the same spirit today that they had then. And what's amazing to me when I watched these marches, again, I know it's not talking about Hamas and the Gaza Strip, but it just really hit me. I was watching the news, and they have these four different screens there on Fox News, you know, 100,000 marching in London, New York City marching, and all these different places, and they're marching, and there are many of them doing that chant, and all these crowds or whatever, and I'm going, Hamas has filled the earth. Violence is filling the earth. And that's exactly what the Lord said would happen in the last days. Maybe you heard that the rabbi there in Detroit was stabbed to death yesterday. It's beginning. I mean, this is very interesting. Again, what's happening now? Is this going to die back down? I don't know. Remember, the Bible says in the last days, Jesus said it'll be like a woman in birth pangs. You're going to have some big contractions. They're going to be harder. They're going to be stronger. They're going to be worse. And then suddenly they'll die back down. And when they die back down, you get a small break or whatever the case might be. And so I don't know whether this is one of those contractions where the Lord is saying, push, right? Or whether he's saying, you know what? No, just wait a minute. You know, that always amazed me when you see these women that are suffering, you know, and you're there with your wife and they're saying, no, don't push yet. It's like, you don't push. You got a person coming out of you. Okay, if I don't push, I'm going to punch. Something's going to happen here. Tracy never did that. Please understand. But that's what I'm thinking. I don't want to say that. You made it sound like she didn't do that. I'm just saying that's kind of my mindset. What do you mean? How in the world do you control that? So that's what it's going to be like in the last days. It may be that this is the time for the Ezekiel 38 and 39 battle, but it may not. So just because the Ezekiel 38 and 39 battle, which we'll look at, doesn't happen right with this, it doesn't mean it's not going to. It's going to. And one of these contractions, guess what? There's going to be the birth of the baby. And so it's going to happen, and the war is going to take place. And again, we'll look at that in more detail. Now, something else we need to cover before we get into the word again. There's a lot of groundwork. I apologize, but there's so much that has to be covered before we get into these verses today. And that is, look, it's hard to find trustworthy news coming from anywhere, especially out of the Middle East. And no matter, you've got trusted sources, but again, even with trusted sources, there's going to be some things that are right, some things that are wrong. So somebody asked me, how do we know what the real stuff is coming out of the Middle East? Well, you're never going to have 100%. But what you want to do is, especially when you're watching the mainstream media, which is so wrong most of the time, you've got to look at who are we talking about? Are they trusted sources or are they non-trusted sources? Now, we can say right off the bat, Hamas is non-trusted. So if you're hearing stuff coming out of from Hamas or the Palestinian Authority or out of Gaza, don't listen to that. One of the main works of the enemy is propaganda. He likes to do things that aren't true and then turn the world opinion against the things that God is doing. Now, this doesn't mean the Jews and Israel are always perfect in all their information, but they have proven themselves through other wars to be faithful when there's friendly fire, when they do something wrong. They call it friendly fire in battle. They've been faithful to say what it is. They've been faithful to say when it's not them. And we saw this very thing happen with this so-called bombing. Well, it was a bombing by accident there that happened in Gaza with the hospital. Again, the world immediately believed Hamas. Why would you believe a bunch of terrorist murderers? But they immediately jumped to that side, started marching the streets, you know, just this whole thing, even in America, shocking to see that. And I knew, I said, there's no way. Israel doesn't bomb hospitals. I knew it was going to come out. And now the intelligence from multiple nations has proven scientifically, if you want to get down to technicalities, it had nothing to do with Israel whatsoever. And again, the numbers were exaggerated. They're saying somewhere between 50 to 100, which is horrible, as a stray rocket from a mosque hit a parking lot and affected the hospital. But they were saying 500 people dead and Israel's targeting those that are sick, whatever. Guys, this is a propaganda game and it's the enemy. They know how to do this. Don't listen to it. Continue to pray. Again, Israel's not going to be perfect. I'm not going to try to say that I believe that and everything. But remember, Satan is a liar and the father of lies. And this is a spiritual battle as much as it is anything else, even more so. So look to trusted sources. Israel has proven themselves trustworthy over the years. Hamas has not. So just keep that in mind.
Thanks for joining us today on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark is teaching a short series titled, Why Christians Should Stand with Israel. As you know from current events, Israel is facing yet another assault from enemy countries. This seems to be a pattern in history, unfortunately. Israel has been and continues to be God's chosen nation and people. And it's no surprise that the enemy wants to attack from any direction. We hope that what you've heard today in Pastor Mark's message has sparked interest, concern, and would prompt you to pray for the nation of Israel. Thanks for tuning in today. We'd like to invite you to come visit us in person. If you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love for you to come to Calvary Knoxville this Sunday. Our services are Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30, and 11:15 a.m., and a midweek service every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Bring the whole family. Every time we gather, it's an opportunity to grow in learning and experiencing God more fully. If you're interested and would like more info, click on the church link at the bottom of the page at thewaymedia.net. You can also use the questions and comments link to get more info. If you'd like to listen to any of these teachings again, just click on the Come to the Table link online or connect with the Way Media app. For any questions or concerns, you can reach us at 865-609-1385. That number again is 865-609-1385. That's all we have for today, but thanks for listening to Come to the Table.
Come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.